from tall and lofty trees and praise him in the
You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
And so he was a natural to become a bishop. So we've been going back each year to support that ministry and to see it grow. And, of course, they're partners with us. So St. Paul's in Vero Beach, in many ways, is a very small congregation. We, you know, average somewhere between 75 and 125 or something like that. And yet we have this much larger arm or partner in Tanzania, which is now comprising of 17 churches and is growing.
17 churches?
More. Yeah.
It's wow.
Yeah. And that's all happened really in the last. He was consecrated as a bishop in 2021. And so those churches have been planted just since 2021. And there are more churches that are being planted all the time.
Yeah. And it's nice that your church, you know, Vero Beach, of course, is a very affluent zip code, one of the top wealthiest zip codes in the United States of America. Last I was told, number four. I think the billionaires up on the beach, of course, raise that level up. But you have a congregation that consists of some people I know that are very well-to-do. And, you know, you're there on a Thursday at noon for a healing service, and you realize these people are praying fervently for other people outside of themselves, nothing about themselves. And you go, wow, because, you know, there is the danger of having affluenza. And that means being impenetrable. Even Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to get to heaven than it is for the, you know, a camel to get through the eye of the needle. Whether that's a real eye of a needle or whether that was an entry into Jerusalem doesn't matter. It's just so to see these people giving altruistically is a beautiful thing. You know, I think people find out whether you're poor or whether you're rich, we all are actually, as Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. For the kingdom of God belongs to them. And no matter what situation we all find ourselves, even this very day, if we will just humble ourselves and we can touch the sky by falling to our knees and saying, I am poor. I have need of you in my life. And God will intervene. It's pretty dang remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely remarkable. And, you know, wealthy people need Jesus. Poor people need Jesus and everyone in between. And, you know, wealth all by itself is not—it's not evil and it's not a sin, and it's how you use the material wealth that the Lord has given to you, and so I'm grateful that you know, we're not a perfect people by any means, but we have some people who love Jesus and they love to give financially, and so we're grateful for that.
Let me ask you this: when you go fishing, you don't clean a fish and then catch it. I'm talking about sin, folks, and so. You would agree that, you know, God finds us wherever we are, whatever muck we're in, whether addictions or whether we're selfish, whatever our personal sin might be, and pulls us out and saves us. So in other words, I want people to realize that they don't have to be perfect in order to enter a church or just the church of God. Some people are afraid of buildings. You don't have to go to a building, of course. But so that makes me wonder, when God plucks us out of the fire, so to speak, as Paul spoke about, you know, I don't know how accelerated he wants our maturing process to be. But here I am, I don't know, I was saved in 1983. That makes me 32 years old, and no, 42 years old in the Lord, 83 till now. Well, it doesn't really matter. But I would say that I am somewhat embarrassed at times with some rudimentary lessons that I have to learn. But I remember Dr. Billy Graham, who I had the pleasure of interviewing, said, you know, the closer you get, and I think as you get older, the closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to see your sin. Mm-hmm. And I find that, you know, I'm not the great good guy that I thought I was 25 years ago. I believe essentially I'm a decent person, good care. I love people, but obviously, he's still working on me. So what I'm saying is to anybody out there, there's no need to be ashamed because Jesus took the shame on the cross. All you have to do is accept that payment. So what I'm getting with you is this. Do you think that once we are birthed, for instance, you're a father, you have three children, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so one of your children, like King David, your son murders somebody. Is he still your son?
Of course.
Would you visit him in prison?
Yes.
Would you love him any less?
No.
Well, isn't if you being of flesh can be that loving towards you? I guess I'm getting to the fact that when, you know, what is it Hosea that I've been reading, thinking about doing that play on?
Yes,
is it Hosea? Yeah. And so this guy, Hosea.
Go take Gomer as your wife.
Well, first of all, he says, go marry a whore.
Right. Yeah.
And he goes in town, marries a whore, brings her back. Her name is Gomer. Mm-hmm. They have children. I think they had three children, too, didn't they? Anyway, so he marries Gomer, and they have a beautiful family and everything. And Gomer goes back to the muck, just like a dog returns to its vomit. Right. So she returned to the city and became a prostitute or a whore again. And years later, God speaks to Hosea and says, go back downtown and get your wife. As you are married to her, so too am I to married to the whoring of Israel. And I will accept her back. I will love her and bless her if she will repent and return unto me and see if I'll not bless you. So if God can do that, I mean, send Hosea as a type of Christ and then forgive. So I kind of tend to think if you've actually been born again, and that's the question here. If somebody listens to this, if you don't know you've been born again, I'm going to say you're not born again. Because when that light switch switches, you might have a dramatic experience or it might be just very subtle. But you know that you know you've entered a different realm. And Jesus said, make sure ye are born from above. And so, I guess what I'm asking you as a pastor, and you've been a pastor how many years? 25 years?
Well, since when? 1998.
Wow, 98. Yeah. So it's quite a while, you know, and 35-something years. Would you say that once God adopts us, and even though we're an engrafted branch, the Gentiles, to the Jews, would you say that that's would be pretty, if you can't gain salvation by my effort and my good works, then I guess I cannot lose by reverting back to my selfishness or whatever my personal sin or somebody listening to this, whatever their sin is. Would you say that there is eternal security in that knowledge?
So, of course, scholars have debated this question through the centuries, Rhett. And, you know, my own sense is, I mean, Jesus says, no one can snatch them out of my hand, right? So, to no one can really lose their salvation, and it certainly cannot happen very easily. There have been cases where people have been very strong Christians and who have turned their back and have embraced atheism. What do you do with that? And my sense is I tend to be more of a free will kind of a person, and I understand the Lord saved me, but I responded to his invitation, and I said yes to his invitation. Now, someone would argue with that and said, hey, in your sinfulness, you could not even say yes. My own sense is each of us makes a choice to follow Jesus. And so is it possible to reject the Lord? I think it's possible, but I think it's very, very hard. Once you're in, it's very hard to lose your salvation.
Well, in the book of Hebrews, it says Jesus cannot die twice on the cross for you. But what I surmise there, being a non-theologian, is this, that, they were accepting the sacrifice of Jesus for payment for their sins. But then they decided to reject Jesus and went back, and they started killing, whether it's goats or sheep again, to fulfill the payment of their sin. And, of course, this was reprehensible to God, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
once the perfect sacrifice has been made, why on earth would you go back to an imperfect sacrifice?
Exactly. By the way, we were talking about Bella. The article back, or the back issues, 167 and 168. That's December 20, 2024 and January 2024, correct?
25.
Oh, 2025. Okay, December 2024. Yeah. Oh, it was so long, it went 2 months. And January 2025, that's back issues of Vero's Voice magazine, number 167, 168. And the stained glass article on that beautiful stained glass you can see at St. Paul's Church over on Flamevine is, and the artist, I guess the artist is interviewed there? No?
Pam wrote the article.
Oh, Pam wrote the article. Pam Proctor, okay, she's a well-known author. The stained glass article is in issue 147, March 2023. That's issue 147, March 2023. Log on to verosvoice.com, and it's a free subscription, an online subscription. And also, we were also talking about glasses that are given to the Lions Club, and now you can give them also to St. Paul's Church. And these people that virtually bind and just, they brought over glasses. It's like a simple, Barbara has had it, the cataract surgery. And I'm going to be going in soon to get it with Dr. Mallon from Center for Advanced Eye Care. And, you know, there are people around the world who are literally totally blind that a simple operation. You know, I was just watching the story of George Washington. How does that connect? Well, George Washington died only 2.5 years after retiring, one of the greatest men. I mean, he really is a great man. There's a new documentary on Prime, just excellently executed. But, you know, he died of a simple infection in his throat. And the narrator was saying, in this day and age, a simple antibiotic within about 4 or 5 hours would have cured him.
Yeah.
Yet he died at 67, I think it was, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, so by the way, if people have glasses or they want to collect glasses or they want to go to the dollar store and buy 100 pairs at $1.25 each, make a donation of $125, would you rather have the money or would you rather have the glasses? And should they drop them off at St. Paul's? How do we work this?
Well, it's a great question. And I think, honestly, if people want to give us glasses, we'll probably receive them. But it's actually better for us to acquire all of the glasses so they're consistent and from the same company and everything
else.
Oh, okay. So we've developed a relationship with a company that gives us these readers and distance glasses or the components of it at a very, very good price. And so we like to provide a consistent product, in essence, for these folks in Tanzania. So it's actually better for us to receive the funds, and they can designate any contribution that they make for the Tanzania mission, and it will go towards the glasses specifically.
Now, you just returned from Tanzania, and of course, there were towns you traveled in where you were the only blanc, the only white person. It's the reason I've been to Haiti a couple times on missionary trips. And as you know, I won't go there now because you stand out as a blanc there. And your chances of being killed are far greater now with these gang members. I don't know what's going to rectify that. I hope people please pray for peace. And we got to pray for a lot of peace. We got to pray for Haiti. We got to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We got to pray for peace in Ukraine.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Pleens Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Most holy, our Lord, our God.